Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to another session of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. You know, we see division all around us today, and we're divided politically, we're divided socially, economically, we are divided religiously as well. Even Christians are divided amongst ourselves in various denominations, and even denominations are divided. I mean, you have, for example, the Baptist, the Southern Baptist, the Reformed Baptist, the Independent Baptist, and I could go on and on and on. The point being, with all of this division going on, is there any wonder we are seeing the turmoil in our society today? I mean, we need to come together around community. We need to come together in unity. In order to do that, we must begin to talk to each other, commune with each other, and try to understand each other on a deeper level than just what divides us. My guest today has been on the front lines of doing just that. Jerry Zaire is an ordained minister with a Master's in Divinity from Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis, Indiana. He's been in the ministry for over 30 years, and his background has not always been one of faith. I mean, his grandparents were Amish. He grew up in a Mennonite home. He tried his hand at acting, was part of a traveling dinner theater circuit as a singer and actor. In fact, he appeared on the Johnny Carson show one time as well. Praise the Lord. Jerry has served as a pastor and leader in interfaith ministries, helping to create four interfaith organizations such as the Carmel Interfaith Alliance and the Indiana Multifaith Network. He's an author of several books. His most recent is titled The Peacemaker's Path, Multifaith Reflections to Deepen Your Spirituality. Help me welcome to the program, Jerry Zaire. Jerry, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here with you and your listeners, and I look forward to our conversation.
Amen. Now, other than that introduction I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is Jerry Zaire?
Wow. I think I am a person who loves God, loves my neighbor as myself. I've tried to be a person who tried to build and build each other up and be an advocate. I think, as you said, we see so many divisions. We can always find things we disagree with, but I've always had a heart about wanting to build each other up and be a champion for one another. So that's what's been a blessing to me in my life.
Amen. Amen. Now, concerning your book, The Peacemaker's Path, why did you believe now was the time to write this book?
Well, you know, I think, as you mentioned, and we do see this kind of polarization more now, maybe because of the media, because of there's so many things that you can watch on TV and Facebook and ways that people can put things out there and don't have any sense of accountability to them. And it can just really damage us. And when people are fearful or they don't like change, they can get very stubborn, hard-headed, or maybe they've been wounded and hurt. And so they strike out in response of that. And, you know, it's in a time, I think. The thing for me, Jesus was so much about a ministry of reconciliation. Jesus' whole ministry, I believe, was about helping people know God and find ways of taking the walls and turning them into tables. Mm. And that was Jesus' ministry. It's what Jesus came to me, shaped my life, and I've tried to emulate that, try to live that out, because he was so much about love, forgiveness, and restoring relationships.
Amen. Amen. And what does the Peacemaker's Path try to accomplish? You know, what religion or faiths does this book address?
Well, you know, for me, I'm a Christian, but yet I believe we have so much more in common than what divides us. And part of what as you talked about, you know, Christians, we divide, we break up in all these groups. And when I grew up, you know, my pastor was, everybody's going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell if you don't believe just like we do in our own group. And and I just never bought it. I saw God was much bigger in God's love. it started, I think I went to church camp as a young person, and people who were different than me, but there was such a power of love that I felt and unified us. And so I've always been about asking questions. You know, well, why did, just because I was taught this, do I really believe that? And I had to really look then at what I grew up with and was willing to change some of my own points of view, open up a little more to be different people. So the focus of the book, that there are six themes that I believe are in all of our major religions. And we can talk maybe about that and give you some examples of that. But the idea is, as I've studied the different religions, I've traveled around the world, I've been in India and Europe, and what I found was there are some universal truths that God has brought to us with different teachers at different times. I mean, you know, Native Americans, that I just love the American Indians. They have a rich spirituality, and they talk about the Great Spirit, you know, and they don't talk about God like we do, or some other faith traditions speak about Allah or higher power. And sometimes we get hung up on the names of God because people don't believe like us. And so by reading this book, it's not a book of theology. It's a very practical book. It has six themes, and actually it's a 40-day devotional. So people could read, like, one day has a reflection, and then you have scriptures from all of the major religions, and then you have a three questions to answer for yourself in your own time of reflection, and then a prayer from a faith leader. And the idea of writing this was, as people start to see, oh, that people who are Muslim and know the Quran, and they see that that Muhammad talked about loving your enemies or forgiveness, or Buddhist teachings about compassion and caring for another, that we found, wow, maybe we have more in common than what we think, and maybe these people aren't just terrible, crazy people that we thought they were.
Okay, and how does your book go about to accomplish this concept of building the bridges?
Well, so like an example, the golden rule is in all these major religions, or, you know, Jesus says, you reap what you sow. I love that. That to me is such a universal truth. Whatever you put out there, you'll come back. And you know, so much, if you put hatred or greed, it will come back to you. If you put love and compassion and blessing, it will come back to you. Well, that principle that Jesus gives to us was known as karma in the Hindu and the Buddhist tradition. And so the principle of this, it is something we've experienced in our own life, and that I believe, you know, is there in a universal law. The law of love and forgiveness overcoming hatred is, I think, in our universal law. And so my hope is, as people read this book, maybe they have somebody who's Jewish or somebody who is in the neighborhood is Muslim. You know, I had a lot of friends who, when ISIS came out, they thought all Muslims were terrorists. And I had to remind them, you know, ISIS was only 10,000. There are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world. And when you get to know somebody who's Muslim, you know, on a one-to-one basis, you realize they love their families. They love God. I mean, Muslims are devout. They pray five times a day. They have acts of compassion and giving. They're required to do certain acts of that. And so what happened was ISIS perverted the scriptures of the Quran, the same way some Christians have done that too. I mean, you know, we can all take our scriptures to justify our actions. And sometimes Christians have done that in some very terrible ways to justify.
Yep, that's right.
When it wasn't really the true teachings of Jesus.
Right.
And so by having this book and people reading the book, one, I think it doesn't, I mean, I'm not wanting people to not be stay as a Christian, but it can expand my understanding of God, maybe a little larger. And I can actually have a little more appreciation to build ways of peace and some healing in our world.
Amen. Amen. What first led you to develop this type of interfaith bridge building?
Well, I think it was that we found people so divided, so judgmental. I had ministers who would, you know, be so critical of me as a minister and almost say, I'm not a Christian because I didn't believe like them. And I was like, wow. I mean, I'm glad you know the mind of God better than I do, you know? And when I was younger, I'd get defensive. Now I just realize, okay, that's your point of view and I respect it, but I think people have to learn to listen. I have had to learn to listen. I've had to learn how to be open. I compare it a lot of times to marriage. You know, I've been married 37 years. When we first got married, my wife had two children and was a blended family. And I kind of was, I had the authoritarian, grew up a very authoritarian. So it was like, okay, we're going to be my way or the highway. You know, we're going to do, I have the right answer and everything else is wrong. Well, my wife and I married her because she was independent. She also, we met in seminary. So she's a minister. She was more in the counseling area. So she actually helped kind of temper me down a little bit. And I realized after about 5 years of pretty intense arguments, you know, that I couldn't change another person. I can only change myself. I also realized that my wife had her point of view and it had value too. And in fact, there was more than just one point of view to resolving an issue. Well, that was honestly a new understanding. I was a pretty opinionated person who thought I was right. Well, I came to some humility in my life.
Amen. Amen. You mentioned your background. You grew up in an Amish town. How did your background impact what you're doing now, especially with this book and your work on interfaith cooperation, et cetera?
Well, you know, I mean, there's some things that I appreciate about the Amish and Mennonite, you know, the care for the earth, the care for family. But there was a very legalistic mindset. You couldn't dance, smoke, couldn't drink. You're going to go to hell if you followed all these do's and don'ts. Really, now I realize I think my faith and spirituality is more about of the heart. It's not so much of the things you do as it is the intent of your heart. So I carried a lot of that. I left God. I left church altogether because I thought, well, if that's what God is about, kind of the sense of judgment and shame and guilt, I just didn't buy it. But I didn't realize, and I think this happens to a lot of us, we have a bad experience maybe in the church, and we just give up on God. Mm. Well, what happened when I was in the theater professionally in the entertainment business, I was getting a lot of accolades externally, but internally, my soul was drying up. It was very superficial, and I was doing nothing to be connected with God and to make my own kind of growing in my spirit. And so that's when I had my own kind of reawakening, if you will, my turning to Jesus. And I said, you know, I want you to give me guidance. I want you in my life. And that's when my life changed and started feeding. And that's then when I started reading the scriptures and more in seminary. And I started realizing that, you know, the teachings of Jesus is about love and forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And you know, I just think, and some ministers want to say people who aren't Christians are going to go to hell. You need to convert all them. And I really will. I'd rather come with some humility that I come to show the love of Christ. And I'll let people, God, work with their hearts. Amen. The other thing is I found I had friends who were Muslim or who were of other faith traditions. I even had some friends who were more agnostic, meaning they didn't know what believed out there, but they still were questioning, who acted more Christ-like than I had friends who were Christians who Amen. Were being pretty mean.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And why do you think that? Why do you think there's such division and polarization between, you know, not just denominations, but different religions today?
Well, I think some of it is in our own spiritual development. Some people say, well, I don't believe in religion because I've seen all the bad things religion has done. And I'll say, don't blame God for human being sin, right? Yeah. So religion can be used, faith, church, community can be used in good ways or it can be used in bad ways. It's how we use it. And so some of it is, I think it's in our spiritual maturity. If I have these beliefs, I must be right. Well, if I'm right, you must be wrong. It's like when we first got married. I have my point of view. It's right. Well, you can't be right too. Okay. And so I've come to realize maybe our perception of God is in fact different the way where we grow up, our culture. But what I've realized is I don't have the corner on truth. I don't think one person does, one minister. You know, I think God uses our experiences to help us see a greater expansion of God and a diversity of people. I mean, if all of us were the same, if we all just loved pizza, and I love pizza, but, you know, life would be pretty boring. But as I've come to really appreciate people of cultures and people of perspectives, it has broadened me, blessed me so much more to appreciate God's world and the creation that we've lived in.
Amen. Amen. And you mentioned your background in the entertainment industry, and you also wrote a book, Blurring the Lines, that shares about your time working in the entertainment industry. How did that book, what you shared in Blurring the Lines, shape what you're doing today and develop the content of your book, The Peacemaker's Path?
Well, I think my experience in the entertainment business, the Blurring the Lines, that book is a novel. It's based on my experience of the entertainment, but it's not all true. So there's a lot of drugs and some, you know, some darker parts that the character gets sucked into that I didn't really do, but that would be kind of boring. So it is a novel. But the one part of it was that was when I had my own spiritual awakening. When I started saying, life isn't just about the material things of the world. There's something deeper. And there's something that I want to feed my soul. You know, I have family members who are all science. You know, I mean, they don't want to talk any religion at all. They just believe all this religious stuff is hocus pocus. And I'll say, you know, try to talk with somebody who's just says they're all science. Even science doesn't understand everything in the universe. Yeah. And in fact, we have new understandings of science, like we have new understandings of faith. Quantum physics now shows us that there are many dimensions of the universe. And so we need to ask questions. It's okay to doubt. It's okay to challenge our point of view. The real challenge is when I hold on to my own point of view, my own beliefs, but I'm open to new ideas that I can let go of something or that. I mean, my understanding has changed a lot in kind of different people. Some of the things I used to think. And I think, you know, God brings us new understanding and revelation. And that's why, you know, I wanted to build, to have a book that helps us to learn not just about faith traditions, but our own personal inner peace. So the book has six themes: walking the enlightened path, the power of prayer, loving ourselves, loving others, the reap what you sow, and then the quest for peace. And so some of it's focusing on our own inner personal life. That part of that which I grew up focusing on loving others, I didn't do much about loving myself. I didn't think about loving myself was good. In fact, we were taught, you know, if you thought too much of yourself, that was a sin, almost like selfish. Well, there's a difference of, you know, being too prideful, but self-care. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. So I found myself having to learn how to love myself. And a lot of the anxiety and fear that I had in my own life, I wanted to find inner peace. And that was part of the journey. So writing the book was a process of trying to help people find inner peace for their life and also to be peacemakers and bring some unity in our world.
Amen. Amen. And when you first started trying to work with other leaders of other faiths and getting them to come together and meet and all that, what was the process that you used to approach them to get them to agree to make that bridge?
Well, and let me say, not everybody wants to do that. You know, I had some Christian ministers who never wanted to meet with me, let alone meet with a Jew or a hip Muslim, you know. They just thought that was wrong. And so I began really one-on-one relationship. Like when I first started out, it was primarily Jewish-Christian dialogue. And then a mosque built outside of Indianapolis. I had never even knew what a Muslim was. I didn't know much about Islam. But I said to the faith leaders, well, let's invite them to come in just to have some conversation. So I had breakfast with the imam, and the imam in the Islam, Muslim tradition is like a minister, or in the Jewish tradition, it's a rabbi. And I said, tell me your story, you know? And when I heard his story about his awakening to God, how he led a kind of a path of heathen life and came to God, and then how God led him into being in a ministry as an imam, it was a lot like mine. And I found we had so much more in common. Now, you know, we could always find the things we disagree on. I mean, I can meet with my pastor or my friends who are Mormon or, like you said, Southern Baptist or Catholic. And I can tell you the things that I don't believe about the Catholics or I believe about Southern Baptists. But I'm not sure what good that really does, because honestly, when we come together for conversations, we're trying to build some ways of peace. And so let me give you an example. There was a temple in our town, Carmel. We're right outside of Indianapolis. Not a big city. We probably have 60,000 people in the city, 80,000. We're a suburb. But there were some young people who came in. They later were caught, 18 and 19-year-old boy and girl, who sprayed swastikas on the synagogue, all over the, just, you know, really terribly marking up the synagogue. They were trying to put fear into the Jews, saying, you know, the whole point that they did it was, we don't think Jews are should be here, and you're getting too much, becoming too much a part of the society. And it was all hatred. Well, that was on a Thursday evening. And just through social media in our network, we spread the word that we're going to have a service of solidarity on a Monday night. Now, the temple only holds 450 people. Almost 1,000 people showed up, people in the parking lot, people with their kids, people saying, we stand for love. We stand together. And there were people of all faiths, people maybe who didn't even have a faith, but they said, you know, we don't want hatred to win. Amen. Or people to think that that makes a way. And you know that what happened was the ripple effect of that, the positive things that came out from that experience has just gone into the whole community in different actions and different people doing things for each other, building bridges. And I always wanted to go that they caught the one guy, 19 years old. It was a hate crime. So he goes to federal prison, felony. He's ruined. His life has been ruined 5 years, you know. And I wanted to go to him and say, you know, one, I forgive you. I don't think you really realize the consequences of your actions. But more, I want to say, did you see all the good that came from that? Would you still have done that? My hunch is he maybe wouldn't. Now, maybe he's so hard and so hardened. Maybe he's still doing, but I wanted to forgive him. I wanted to say to him, you know, God loves you. And I, you might have hatred in your heart, but all it is doing is going to destroy you.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of the interview with Jerry Zaire. I tell you, this is so inspiring. We need bridges built between denominations, between other faiths. We need the ministers and the pastors and the churches in the, and temples and anything else in this community. They need to come together and start quashing all of these riots and protests, all these social society ills going on. And part of the reason why they're going on is because ministries have failed their duty to minister to the people in the community. They're closed up among their own four walls inside their churches, their synagogues, etc., instead of just coming together to gather together and then reach out to the community. And Jerry Zaire and his work and building these bridges to the interfaith communities, folks, this is something that is so needful in society today. I encourage you to order his book. Blurring the Lines talks about his career and in the entertainment industry and how he came into the ministry. But order this book, The Peacemaker's Path. This is something that is definitely needed in the ministries today. Order 2-3 copies. Give them out to pastors that you know. Who knows? They may be able to start something in your community that will start bringing actionable results to your community. And you see all this terrible stuff on the news happening inside the inner cities, and et cetera. Folks, Jerry Zaire has been on the front lines of building these bridges for 30 plus years, and he's making an impact. And you could be the individual that lights the match, that begins to show the light, into shining that light into the darkness. But it has to come from within. It has to happen with pastors and ministers and everyone else making a decision that they are going to get along, to go along, to get together, to make changes in the community that will just be a witness to the Lord, to other people. Peace can be achieved if we come together in unity. Amen. Till next time, be sure you come back for part two of this great interview. We're only about halfway through this, and you do not want to miss what's coming up. Until next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.